about the law.
Murphy's Law Podcast, your host, Ian Murphy.
And I'm just like,
this is hard for him to hold back.
So much I want to share.
Remove all the emotion from all of this stuff.
And they never wanted this to happen to the citizens again.
We never stop growing as an individual. Right.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Murphy's Law. With me, as always, my PIC, Chris Kuhn.
Which, by the way, you notice the addition, we didn't even pick up on that last week. I did finally make the screen.
Yeah. Upgrade. So this week we're coming off of a one-of-a-kind, hopefully interesting weekend. You know, we had a little bit of a weather event happen this weekend.
I'd say
an F3 tornado blew through town.
Yeah, a little bit more of a little weather event. I mean, it's surreal. It still is. We were just talking about it. It's crazy. We're just not used to this kind of thing.
It's strange. I had just gone off to college. I think it was at 97 or 98 when the last one came through. So I kind of remember a little bit about that. This was nothing like that whatsoever. No. I think the last count I had heard was two have perished.
And 44 injured, I think.
At least, I'm sure it's probably more now. I haven't heard many of the extent of the conditions of those. I do think there's one or two that might be severely or critically injured. But I, you know, don't quote us on any of that.
Can you imagine, you know, looking at the path of the tornado that it took, how close to the hospital it was?
Yeah, my sister works up at that hospital. She was on shift that night. And they lost power, and what really, you know, of course the hospital is equipped with backup generators and power, but really my understanding is the problem that they were having at the hospital was there were lines and trees down all around the hospital, so it was tough for the emergency vehicles and EMS to even get patients and people into the hospital, so they were diverting everywhere. But it's something that we never thought would really happen. We immediately started getting messages once we could, because phone lines were down. It happened just a couple of blocks to our north and then about 10 or 12 blocks to our west. So thankfully, where we are right here downtown, although the tornado did cross Main Street, it was West Main Street. Yep. Even though we are West Main Street on the east side of town, it really wasn't that close to us, even though blocks is awfully close.
But we, you know, we were here and didn't hear anything. We right. were literally here looking outside when it happened.
Yeah, we were. I was sitting right here with our attorney going mm-hmm. over some recent court cases that are adjacent to ours, and the phone started blowing up, and you know, everybody's kind of walking outside and the lights start flickering. And then you start noticing the wind picking up, and I'm like, just get away from the windows. This is actually, for future reference, for anybody locally that's listening, our location here right in town is probably the safest place if an event like this ever does happen again. Hopefully it never does, but we have, this is a brick building, and we mm-hmm. joke that it's a brick shit house, but it's a barbecue, so it's not a shit house. Okay. But we have a room downstairs that is all bricked in, and we actually call it the bunker.
Yeah.
So we happen to be in the best place possible, even though we were reluctant enough not to be that close to it. But the power went out, but we have booze, we have running water, we have barbecue, so no better place to be than here in that type of event. But we had no idea of the extent of any of the damage. You know, we were right by where the fire department goes and where EMS crews go. The Michigan Department of Transportation has an office just on the east side of town over here. So we knew that something bad had happened out there.
It literally went from nothing to a steady barrage of police cars and the EMS and fire going every direction, going east, going west. I mean, because we had, you know, the other really weird feeling was it was not a good feeling to be completely blacked out. I mean, we had no cell phones. So we had no access to anything or social media or television to find out what the hell happened.
Yeah.
And we really didn't know the extent till later that night once we, like, you and I got power back at our houses by, like, what, 9 o'clock that night?
So impressive.
And, yeah, it was amazing. And, like, just the feeling when we finally saw pictures was like, holy shit.
Yeah, no idea. And, of course, we weren't about to go out venturing around to see exactly what was happening. You know, we had things and customers here to deal with. You know, we've got to shut a restaurant down. We've got gas lines that needed to be shut off and food and things that needed to be stored properly. So we had our hands full, but I know a bunch of us here, all we really wanted to do was go down there and see what the hell was happening. You know, my brother-in-law's got a business right there that was affected right across mm-hmm. the street from the Goodwill that has almost been flattened. One of our cooks here, his wife works at that Goodwill and was there at that time. I mean, our friends over at Gordon Food Service. It was very, very odd thing to have happen in northern Michigan, let alone Michigan. What is it like? There's maybe 14 on average. Is that 12 on average in the state yearly? Well, that seems insane, actually.
It does the thing, because when most of them downstate, or when they do hit northern Michigan, the vast majority just go through wooded areas. They don't hit populated areas.
And we had one 2014 or 2015 that did that. That was kind of more, I mean, we're rural up here as it is anyways, but this was right across our main street in a retail area. Well, it started in a mobile home park, from what we can tell. Blew the mobile home park through retail and just kept traveling across 75 into more residential area.
Yeah, right here by St. Mary's School.
Yeah.
I mean, it barely missed the hospital. It barely missed St. Mary's School. I mean, it, you know, we joked about it then, which we'll never joke about again, but when the alerts went out on our phone, you know, we kind of chuckled and I looked around the house and I'm like, this is northern Michigan. We don't go in the basement. We go outside and watch this shit.
Yeah.
And literally at home, we had nothing but 5 minutes of rain and wind. The power went out and we're like, well, time to go to pig.
I've seen some interesting things as a kid living in Las Vegas in the desert. You know, the winds whip around and do some crazy things. I was nowhere close to it where we were, just blocks away. But it easily... I understand 150 miles an hour and vehicles overturned and, you know, these train cars and semi-trailers that were overturned. The RV park that was, it's not an RV park, the dealership. Yeah, I mean, just like dominoes just stacked in the towards the northwest. You know,
it's incredible. Most of those trailers are 5, 6,000, 7,000 pounds, and to see them just literally thrown into a big pile in the middle.
Yeah, I am amazed that the death toll, if you can call it that, is only two comparative to the damage that
and
thing
the lack
has
of advance
wreaked.
Notice.
That too. It looked like the majority of that storm had gone to the north of us, but it was just that little hook there that got us at the end. And I say little as in little on the radar.
Yeah, there's nothing. The radar wasn't bad. I mean, I've been watching it all day because I planned on doing a bunch of yard work that evening. And so I joked all day long at work as far as, yep, hopefully it just misses altogether because I don't want to get wet. And the last thing I expected to happen was what we dealt with this weekend. But I tell you what, we talked before we started recording that, you know, talk about the feelings we still go through right now of that, you know, wanting to help, wanting to do more, immediately followed by a sense of pride and almost tearing up when you think about how quickly everybody from the state of Michigan, from all over the place, from private individuals hopping their trucks with chainsaws to companies and the linemen. You know, how many line trucks do you think we've had here?
Yeah, incredible the way
the troopers
those,
from, you know, yep, four or five, six,
I mean,
different posts.
The DNR officers, you know, MDOT, the agencies,
yeah,
that
sheriff,
came out.
City police, I mean.
You know, the church flooded. Organizations get a ton of credit. I mean, they have got the facilities right away to get up and running. We talked to so many linemen, you know, a couple in particular that live in South Bend, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And they were just in, I think, North Dakota last week. And we were, you know, throwing some food at them out back because we didn't have power here. So we put a grill and stuff out back and we're just throwing burgers and pulled pork sandwiches and hammy sammies and whatever we could get rid of before it spoiled is what we did.
I bet you we've had a few hundred people on Saturday easily.
Not to mention we lost count for the entire weekend, and not that we were necessarily trying to keep count because who really gives a shit. But at the end of the day, it's estimated about over 1,000 people, not including. Somehow our crew pulled off a 150-person catering for a wedding on Saturday
and a
60-person funeral. I mean, those are life events that
And fed the
keep going. You know,
fed the staff at the hospital.
It's interesting that when something does happen so locally like this, that other people's lives still do go on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing to see how many people did rally from everywhere, downstate, from Petoskey, from Alpena. I mean, just flooded in here from everywhere.
Yeah, from out of state.
There's some few people in particular that we want to thank. We want to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to this week's tornado recap episode, I guess is what we can call it, without making any, it's a somber event, and we were talking before we went to the commercial break about the agencies that came into town and the volunteers from everywhere that came out, people with trailers and chainsaws know anybody.
Yep.
And that has really been the heartwarming thing, especially given these recent times that we live in, the divisive times that we live in. And I was just commenting to somebody this morning. I said, I don't think there was a single conversation had this morning or this weekend about ridiculous things like vaccines or COVID mandates or abortion or this guy or that guy or any of that
stupid
stuff.
Sure as hell wasn't around here.
And not that we want to sit here and try and remember an event like this, but I would never try and draw comparisons to 9/11, but that community support and feeling and that infrastructure that came together in a moment's notice, if you will, that is what I wish we could harness that.
Yeah,
and it's unfortunate that it does take an event or events like that to bring that fabric back together, because we are a small community up here, and we've gotten so many comments, and I was just telling you a little bit ago, a guy came in and handed us $300 cash and said, I heard you're still feeding people over at Nottingham Forest, which is the mobile home park that got destroyed. And said, is there an ATM right by? I'm going to give you some cash to help feed them. And, it's tough. How do you, I said, you take hugs? And he's like, hell yeah. So these people have just come out of nowhere to help people that they never knew, maybe got a first name if they're lucky, and grabbing brush out of the yard, hauling it off to the dump. I mean, just awesome.
Yep,
awesome
just wave stuff. After wave. And, the damage was so extensive that they, last I knew, they still didn't have enough trucks and trailers to haul these things.
Yeah, as of this morning, they were still asking for, that mobile home park, it's just completely flattened. And I think they are done looking for people in there.
Yeah, I think there's just
and it's more just trying to clean it up and hopefully try and get what belongings that they have. But that was, it still is incredible. I mean, we still have people here in the restaurant. We just sent out another 30 box lunches a little bit ago. So anybody that still is in need, or if you don't have any food, whether you don't have a home or you need somebody that needs some food, give us a holler here. We've got box lunches for days that we can hand out.
And as far as resources, we can point you in the right direction. I mean, while we were setting up in here, we had a group of linemen in here, as well as a group of Red Cross workers.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, these people.
I do know that United Way here in town is coordinating a lot of the cleanup stuff that's still happening, claims and stuff that are happening. I do know a friend of ours works at Safe Light Auto Glass here in town. A lot of them are doing some complimentary window glass stuff. I wish there was another one somebody just mentioned earlier. I wish that I could remember.
Bell Tire.
That's right. They're fixing.
Free
flat tire fixes over at Bell Tire here in town. So, I mean, just a lot of awesome stuff. The other reason why we wanted to podcast real quick today is we've been planning this Fuel Fest event, which has been around the court decision ruling the health code unconstitutional. That has been the impetus of that event, bringing in comedian Dave Landau, Skylar Anderson from Nashville, Jake and Michaela Holt, a bunch of other stuff going on. What we have decided to do is take and basically turn this now into a fundraiser.
Which is only the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. There is a fund being set up, or is actually now set up, at the community, Otsego County Community Foundation. We are working with the folks over there to set up a way for us to funnel these proceeds from Fuel Fest. The idea being that we want to stuff that fund with as much money as possible.
And make sure it stays locally.
And that's what Otsego, the community foundation, does, is they make sure that that money stays local. They have the vetting processes and the back channels to get that money where it needs to go, whether it's, you know, buying kids' supplies or toiletries, or, you know, there are smarter people than I that know exactly what the folks need right now.
Especially, where do you start after an event like this?
Yeah, you know, and the other thing too is, you know, we're short on housing around here, and there's some folks that have missed out, don't have homes anymore. And we're not talking about just, you know, the mobile home park here. I mean, it's all the way over across town, apartment buildings and some nice homes. So it's, you know, the old moniker about, you know, it just goes after mobile home parks, that's just not true.
No, and I read a kind of a heartbreaking story on Gaylord Helping Gaylord today, that, you know, a single mom that, you know, barely making ends meet, moved back to Gaylord into the family home a year or two ago, and just found out that her ex-husband hadn't been putting homeowner's insurance on the house.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so no homeowner's insurance, which, you know, I would imagine there's a fair amount of people in Nottingham Forest, and these trailers are probably have homeowner's insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, so where do you turn? You, like you said, there's a shortage of housing as it is. I know we have some hotels that have opened up bedding right now.
Yes.
For the short term. But, you know, if you have insurance, okay, your insurance is going to pay and kick in and give you a place to stay. But so there's a lot of people that are just truly wondering what the hell to do next.
They don't. They're not really quite sure to turn, where to turn. And hopefully an event like this can help put a bunch of money into that fund. So people, I can't tell you, I've seen a half a dozen GoFundMe accounts this morning alone trying to help some people, which is a certainly recommend doing that as well. What we're attempting to do is make this even bigger event than we were hoping to before. So what actually has happened is a bunch more sponsors have jumped in. I'm going to read down a list really quick, and it's probably not even as close to up to date as it should be, only because I guarantee if I look at my phone, there's probably two or three more. There's businesses in here. There's individuals in here. There's a couple of politicians running for office that have also jumped on. Again, remember, the impetus of this event was to celebrate freedom, unity, entertainment, and liberty. That
was
what
like
Fuel
to
stands
for. The Freedom Rally.
Right. So this works right along the lines of unity with that whole acronym.
And in addition to the funds raised for the community, I mean, it'll be a good time for people to kick back and relax and kind of take their mind off of what we just went through.
Yeah, that has been the interesting thing too, is hearing everybody's story, where you were when this happened. I was over here, my kids were over here, all I could think about was this. And this is another opportunity for us to all get together and kind of, you know, I wouldn't say reminisce is not the right word, but, you know, heal maybe a little bit.
I like that word.
Might be more appropriate.
Yep.
But these are the folks that are jumping on board for Fuel Fest. And again, all the money that we're raising is all going to go to the local foundation for tornado relief fund for local residents. And I'm sure local businesses to help some of them. I mean, there's glass just broken out of so many of these places. So first and foremost is our big radio sponsor, my good buddy Jerry Coyne over at Q100 Radio.
Jerry's always there.
Jerry has always been there. You know, this is a Memorial Day weekend, and anything that we ever try and do, we always try and include the military in this, and Jerry is always on top of that. Q100, Finster, Crystal, all those folks over there, they're very awesome. Otsego Club, Otsego Resort, right just down the road here, two golf courses, beautiful ski hills. That place is has a special place in my heart since it was Hidden Valley.
Yep.
God,
that's going back.
So they're kind of our lodging partner for this event. Another one that's close to my heart is Golf Gaylord. They've jumped on with a sponsorship as well. They've got a gorgeous little store here in town. Actually, it's not really so little.
No, it's growing quite a bit.
They've got a ton of stuff in there. They've got an amazing simulator we play golf on all winter long.
And just a great guy. I mean, you'll find avid golfers just hanging out all winter long.
Tony and Steve and Stephanie over there just done an awesome crew. Also, a really big backer of ours since the shutdown, since we kind of bucked the system a little bit, Trucker Randy.
Yep.
And his radio program. They have been outstanding supporters. Randy Bishop, thank you so much for your sponsorship. I've talked to Randy a bunch of times. He's been in here in the restaurant a bunch. Just a great supporter. Anybody that it has any sort of interest in freedom-loving businesses, liberty-loving businesses, tune into Randy's show. Also, we've got a couple of politicians that are going to be stopping by. Michelle Hoytenga will be here.
Ryan Kelly.
Ryan Kelly is running for governor, will be here. And Ralph Rabant, who is also running.
Check out Ryan's website.
Those guys have been frequent visitors and great supporters of our cause for the last year and a half plus. And also Extreme Power Sports.
Yep. Great job, Chris Renee.
Has jumped on board as one of our big headlining sponsors. Their sponsorship actually allowed us to hand out free tickets. So what we wanted to do along with Extreme sponsorship was offer a free ticket to all first responders, frontline workers, EMS crews, and active duty and retired military personnel. It is also Memorial Weekend, so we have activities planned for that portion as well, being, you know, Monday being Memorial Day. So we have, thank you to Extreme Power Sports for that great, great sponsorship. So any active duty, retired, EMS crews, first responders, state police, any of you folks that want
nurses,
tickets, we have them here at the restaurant. Please stop by and grab them. Also, you can get in the day of the event for free, obviously, as well. You don't need to have one of these tickets. Just show some identification, and we'll get you all taken care of. So I think I got most of our sponsors right. Let's not forget, the headliner is Comedy Central comedian Dave Landau, third chair, Steven Crowder's show.
Louder with Crowder.
Great shout out. Thank you, Dave, last week. I think that was last week. Boy, it's time's flying now.
Well, and the other thing is that, you know, with as this has grown, we don't quite know where yet Fuel Fest is going to be. It originally started off going to be in the back parking lot, but now as it's grown, we can't say exactly where now because it's still down to one or two places, but
we want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to have a good time. Yep. We have it planned to be out back as of right now. But what's interesting is, so Gaylord has the new social district.
Yeah.
What we have learned is that the tented portion of our private parking lot technically is not included in the social district.
And so
now the sidewalks around it are, but there are such things as gathering areas that are defined by the Liquor Commission. You know, our wonderful park across the street where we have live music. They have live music. I shouldn't say we. Downtown has live music. That is a gathering area. You can drink there. You can drink on the sidewalks. You cannot drink in the roadways. Unfortunately, our tented area out back is not. So that's one of the things. But the other one being is that this event is getting so big that we want to have the opportunity to get as many people there as possible.
And there's really not enough room for parking alone.
Tickets are going for, I think, $49 right now for adults, $15 for children 12 and under, I think, something like that. We'll have some, I think, some kids' activities, some other things. So right now it is planned for Outback, but we are looking at an alternative option. Otsego Club has expressed their interest in hosting this event over there, which would be amazing.
That'd
be
awesome.
We have it outdoor on their driving range. It's a golf course, and of course it's Otsego Club. They're already sponsoring the event. So we're efforting that. The The other thing is, you know, we're looking to secure a tent. It's crazy in this economy that we have right now, the labor shortages. We can get the tent. We cannot either get the tent up here or it cannot be assembled because of the labor. These two companies, unfortunately, had to back out.
Oh, God, and they sure as hell don't want us trying to figure out those tents.
So,
I've watched that before. Uh-uh.
You know, we're some smart fellers, but I wouldn't know where the hell to start on that one. Uh-uh. But so we're efforting a bunch of things, but the key thing to remember is that Fuel Fest is now a fuel fundraiser, tornado relief. Tickets are on sale. All of the proceeds from everything that day, merchandise, food, ticket sales, all of that stuff is all going to Tornado Relief Fund set up here in town. Tickets are on sale. FuelFestNFT.com. Anybody that is still wishing to sponsor can also go to our website and find a sponsorship form. Shoot us a message, anything like that. We're welcome. We are talking with some of our vendors as well, so we're hopefully going to have some auction items. I know we got some Tigers tickets, some Tigers memorabilia, and some other stuff, so we'll have a very cool silent auction with most of our events that we do. Those proceeds always go to charity anyways, so anything that we can do to pack as many people into this event to pump that fund up with enough money so they don't have to worry about how much money. All we have to worry about is how and who to get it to make an impact.
And it's going to be a great turnout. I mean, we've been looking forward to this for a long time, and now it just has so much more meaning. It really does.
It's the least that we can do. You know, that's what we did all weekend. We had food that was sitting here. Our crew ran extension cords to keep fridges going. Gordon Food Service, a big shout out to them for this weekend. They brought a refrigerated trailer over to Jay's Sporting Goods to allow us to temporarily house some food. So none of that spoilage happened. But I tell you, I am just amazed at the turnout and the volunteerism and the how can we help and just the overall attitude of pitching in.
Well, and I want to point out, we had the sticker sitting up there.
I brought that.
The local 876 out of Mount Pleasant, group of linemen. These guys, if you follow the page, they're all the ones in the bright green shirts.
Yeah.
But these guys, they showed up. There had been 50 of them, if I had to guess. And talk about pulling your heartstrings. We did this for them. We were feeding these guys.
Yeah.
For them.
That's right.
But as they came through, these guys were stuffing 20, 30, 40 bucks a person for their own meal that we were giving them for free.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark had told me the two guys put in 40 bucks each, 80 bucks for the two guys.
Incredible.
Yeah. And one kid looked like he was barely 20 years old, stuffed a 20 in there.
Yeah.
I mean, and when they got done, he wanted to make sure that we got this and made sure it got in the restaurant somewhere.
It's the dichotomy of where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And if we can hold on even to a fraction of that in the next 6 months the next, you know, couple of years, if in, of course there are other things going on in the world, certainly, but at our local level here, if this has any sort of transcendent effect locally, it's hopefully this coming together attitude will be perpetuated. Not that it hasn't before. We're not ever saying that it wasn't. But given the divisive times, you know, with masks and the kids at school, and there are just so many parents are fighting and family members are fighting over ideals that none of us ever thought that we'd ever have to question each other on.
No.
Or maybe even should be questioning. But none of that bullshit even mattered this weekend. It did not matter. There's a hole in my neighbor's roof. Let's fix it.
Yep. Don't care who they are, what they believe. Let's just take care of business.
That's awesome.
Which is what our community is.
We need to bottle that up somehow and
you know,
let somebody, that out a little by little here and there maybe.
Well, and somebody generated the, you know, the hashtag Gaylord Strong.
Yeah.
It's the best way you can put it. And I know I think I read that by the end of the week that Living Fresh will have them in the store. right next door.
That's awesome.
The Gaylord Strong shirts.
That's awesome. So we'll probably end up doing something very similar as well, or at least get some of their shirts over here or over at the festival as well.
Proceeds are going to be donated.
So once again, thank you guys. Love all of you so much. Thank you for tuning in, everybody that pitched in this weekend. Chris, I love you, man. You were such a great help this weekend, my brother.
There's nowhere else to be.
As always, dude, I appreciate you. Dashboard Jesus was definitely looking out for all of us locally here. Prayers up for everybody. Yep. Love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Murphy's Law Podcast. Chris, thanks, buddy.
Gaylord Strong.